As a professor, I think what I do is important. I think the papers that I write, the scholarship I write, the talks I give are important, but it's certainly important in a slower way. So what I think I value more now as a professor is having a lot of time just think about ideas, to just sit down and spend time brainstorming and coming up with ideas and reading and writing. And I really like working with students. It's a great joy getting to work with students. And I work at the Elizabeth Halb School of Law at Pace University, and the Halb Law is the number one environmental law program in the country. So we have lots of students who really, really care about environmental law, and they've come to law school because they care about it.
Welcome to Connecting with Careers. My name is Piper Roskovensky, and as a part of the Social Innovators Program, I started interviewing Wilmington Friends School alumni about their professions. I wanted to help high school students have a more accessible and interesting way to learn about different careers. And in this episode, I interviewed Josh Galperin, who graduated from Friends in 2000. He is currently an assistant law professor at Pace University, and he studied at the University of Delaware, Yale School of Environment, and Vermont Law School. He has researched and taught environmental law, food and agriculture law and policy, property, constitutional law, and tort law. In our interview, we discussed his journey of teaching law and working in environmental law. I hope you enjoy.
My name is Josh Galperin. I'm the class of 2000, and I'm a law professor, and I specialize in environmental law.
All right, thank you. So could you just describe what you do as an environmental lawyer, and what does a normal day or week look like?
Sure. So there's sort of two answers to that question, because I am not anymore just a regular environmental lawyer. I did that for a while, and now as a professor, my day looks quite a bit different from the way it looked when I was a practicing lawyer. So I'll start by answering very briefly the question about, you know, what my day looks like now, what I do now, what my day looks like now, and then I'll give you a slightly longer answer about what it looks like as an environmental lawyer. But as a professor, you know, there's sort of two main things that I'm responsible for doing. One of them is obvious, that's teaching. So I teach, you know, a few classes each year, mostly environmental law related classes. And I also do research. So I write scholarly papers about environmental law. But that's not what a normal environmental lawyer's day looks like. So when I was practicing law, instead of just doing teaching, I had a couple different jobs. My first job was working for the Vermont General Assembly, like the state legislature in the state of Vermont, where my job was really interesting. And every day I would go in and I would sit in on legislative hearings, and I would organize testimony, and I would write law for legislators to then go and vote on. After that, I became more of an advocate. So I worked for an organization called the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And we were, my job specifically was to try to shut down coal plants and promote clean energy and as an alternative. And so the days were very varied there. Some days I'd be sitting at my desk reading articles and doing research. Other days I'd be on phone calls with collaborators and government officials and other organizations. And other days I'd be sort of, you know, out in the field. I'd be doing public hearings. I'd be meeting with clients who had coal plants in their backyards and, you know, wanted to get them shut down and wanted our help. So it can be very, very varied.
What was one of your favorite parts of your job? You could talk about now being a professor and also being an environmental lawyer.
Being an environmental lawyer, for me, the part I really liked was feeling like I was doing something really important. I mean, I care a lot about the environment. That's why I decided to do this job. And I, by the way, think that, you know, the WFS is definitely the reason for that, because it's not as if, I mean, my parents care, like, you know, like when asked, they will say they care about the environment, but this is not like part of my upbringing. But it was just something that was instilled in us in school. I was there from kindergarten or maybe first, pre-first, all the way through graduation. So it was a lot of years of that. But I really, like, I feel like I was doing important things. I was making, you know, when I would work with a government to get a coal plant shut down, or I would work with the energy company to say, we're going to turn these plants off and stop the climate pollution that they're producing and stop the water pollution and stop the air pollution. That felt really important, even if the things I did on a day-to-day basis weren't always that exciting. As a professor, I think what I do is important. I think the papers that I write, the scholarship I write, the talks I give are important, but it's certainly important in a slower way. So what I think I value more now as a professor is having a lot of time to just think about ideas, to just sit down and spend time brainstorming and coming up with ideas and reading and writing. And I really like working with students. It's a great joy getting to work with students. And I work at the Elizabeth Halb School of Law at Pace University. And the Halb Law is the number one environmental law program in the country. So we have lots of students who really, really care about environmental law, and they've come to law school because they care about it. And that's really rewarding and certainly one of the favorite parts of my job.
Yeah, I like that too. Just like you do it because it's good and you know you can create change. You talked about one of your favorite parts. Could you talk about one of your not so like your least one of your least favorite parts of your job or stressful?
Yes. So back in the days when I was doing real environmental law, I think one of the parts of my job that I didn't like was there was a lot of confrontation. You know, and this is a part of being a lawyer, and it's just a part of being a lawyer that I didn't particularly like. There's your side and there's the other side a lot of the time. I didn't really work in the courtroom, so it wasn't as if I was going into the courtroom and, you know, and debating with the fighting with the opposing counsel. But if I'm trying to shut down a coal plant, there's the coal company that might be trying to keep it afloat, right? Or if not the coal company, maybe there's people who just for ideological or political reasons think that we have to maintain coal because we just believe in coal, even if the coal company wants to shut it down. And I just never like that kind of fighting. I prefer to do jobs where I can be collaborative with people. I'm not a tough guy, and so you know, conflict. I'm conflict averse, generally speaking. But as a professor, that's not a problem at all. As a professor, by far the worst part of my job is writing exams and grading exams. I absolutely hate grading. I mean, we have to grade, and I acknowledge that, but I don't like that I have to give students a grade for all the work they've done, as if they can't just learn, you know, and be rewarded for the work they've done. So I really hate grading.
What kind of qualities does someone need to have to be successful in environmental law?
You need to be prepared to lose a lot. It's you know it's there's been plenty of progress over many decades of environmental law, but there's been a lot of setbacks, especially in, you know, today, in the modern era. So you need to be prepared to lose a lot, and to deal with the sort of anxieties that come from thinking about existential environmental problems all the time. But there's also some more, you know, like day-to-day things, right? I mean, you know, you got to go to law school for one, and so that takes tenacity and you know, attention to detail, patience, and things of that nature. But really, lots of different people can do this and can do it well. So there's no one thing that you need to really excel at to be good at this field.
Yeah, I like that. It's really open to a lot of different people that can do good.
Definitely,
Yeah.
definitely.
Did you always know that you wanted to be an environmental lawyer? And what was your journey to get to this field?
Yeah, I definitely didn't always know. When I was in college, the University of Delaware, I was majoring in political science, and since you know it's like in the arts and sciences school, I had to take a science class. And given my schedule for the semester, there was only two science classes that fit the schedule. And so one of the classes was neurobiology, and the other class was wildlife conservation. And wildlife conservation sounded more interesting to me, but also the neurobiology book was like $300, and I didn't want to spend that much money on a textbook. So I took wildlife conservation, and I just absolutely loved it. I just was so enthralled by the class, and it took me by surprise. I didn't know I would be. So I decided I wanted to minor. Continue majoring in political science, but to minor in wildlife conservation. And in trying to do that, I realized there was a whole bunch of hurdles I had to go through. I was the first person ever at the entire university to major in major in the arts and sciences school, but try to minor in something in the agriculture school. And it surprised me that there hadn't been more people. It's not, you know, a huge university, but it's like 15 or 20,000 students. I assumed that somebody over the many years would have done something like that, and nobody had. And I became interested in the idea that there weren't more people thinking about combining sort of policy and politics with science and conservation decision making. And so I decided I wanted to pursue that after graduation. And I so what really, it wasn't until I took that one class that, so I had a hunch I wanted to be a lawyer because I was studying political science, but it wasn't until I took that one class that I realized I wanted to do environmental law, and sort of thinking about where the science and the law overlap.
Yeah, that's a really unique story. And after you figured that out, what was the process like to get a job in that field?
Right. Well, first I went to school, and so I did two graduate degrees, a law degree and a master's degree in environmental management. And then the job process was unusual because so I'll tell you the brief version of my story, but then I'll also tell you what might be useful to people today, which is not necessarily lessons from my story. So, I graduated law school and my master's degree, and I got a job right away. That was like 2007, 2008. And I got a job right away, and it was great. But my wife was getting ready to go to graduate school. Now wife, then girlfriend, was getting ready to go to graduate school. So I left my job to relocate to a totally different state. And that happened right at the time of the like 2008-09 financial collapse, and all the jobs stopped, but were gone. For you know, like young entry level, basically entry level team. I've been working for about a year and a half. And so I scooped ice cream for almost a year. I was in a new town, nobody was hiring, and it was a slog, but it worked out. I mean, I got a dream job that led to the, well, I don't know if it was a dream job. It wasn't a dream job, but I got a job that led to the job I have now, which is a dream job. But I'm not sure that story is it. Hopefully that story won't be applicable to anybody else because, you know, the economy will remain strong and other people will have an easy time finding jobs. Who knows? So what to think about when looking for jobs in the field, right? There's lots of different ways of, well, practicing law generally and practicing environmental law. Those who go into the courtroom on a regular basis, litigators, you know, they go to court, they argue before judges and juries. There's those who work on policy, who you know, work for, whether it's for government agencies or for nonprofit organizations, and the big ones, you know, in the environmental field, like Earth Justice, Sierra Club, Natural Resources Defense Council, Greenpeace, these big national, international organizations. So there's folks who work in those inter organizations and do policy making. They work on legislation, they work on environmental protection agency policy, things of that nature, but they don't necessarily go into court very often. And then there's those who work in the private sector. I got an email today from a former student who is in the general counsel's office. They're an in-house lawyer at Google, and they work on this Google sustainability program. And, you know, so they don't really go to court ever. They are sometimes lobbying government, but more they're trying to figure out how what their company has to do and how they can do it and do it better. So there's a whole bunch of different paths to take. And that's a long way of saying it's useful. So if a young person's interested in the field, it's useful to think about which one of those paths is most interesting, because even though they're all doing environmental law, litigation, policy advocacy or policy making, and in-house private sector work, you know, they're quite different types of jobs, and the pay is quite different.
Do you have any other advice, or what would you recommend to high schoolers if they're interested in environmental law? And is there anything they can start doing now?
Well, there's nothing they need to start doing now. I think that's the most important thing, right? Like, you know, in high school, you should be learning and having fun and gaining skills, and wait till college and law school to start narrowing your path or getting just too worked up about what it is you need to do. I mean, I'm a big believer in education for the sake of education, especially at the high school level. So there's nothing one needs to do. What could you do? Reading. Like just reading and learning, reading. There's, you know, there's great books about environmental law that cover all different aspects of it. Civil Action, which became a movie, starring John Travolta from, I don't know, many years ago now, 1997 or something, probably. That gives you a perspective on the litigation side of environmental law practice. There's a book called, I think it's called The War of the Whales or Whale Wars or something like that, which is much more about sort of the policy advocacy side of environmental law practice. I'm not sure anybody's written a book yet on what it, about being a lawyer in-house in a private firm as an environmental lawyer. But reading, talking to folks, but really, one thing I tell students, I tell college students frequently, so this goes for high school students even more, is when you're thinking about applying to law school, it really doesn't matter. People think, well, what should I major in? Is philosophy or political science, or these are the things you have to do. And the truth is, it doesn't matter what you major in. Law schools are looking for students who have done a nice job, who can prove that they can, communicate well in writing, that they can be attentive students and do well in school. The specific classes aren't that important, which is quite different from some other fields. So I would say even more strongly to high schoolers, when you're picking a college, don't pick a college because you think it's going to be the most likely to get you into the environmental law universe. It's hard to, it's not just hard, but it's usually misguided to try to plan your path out too narrowly.
Thank you. To end this interview, I have two questions from a sophomore in high school who is actually interested in environmental law. And she
Okay.
talked a little bit about this, but if you want to say, add anything else. The first one is, what's your experience dealing with environmental issues? So if you have anything else to add that.
That's a great question. I've dealt with them from many different perspectives. I did food and agriculture law for a while. Almost all my so right before I became a professor, almost all of my practice was, I think I might have said this yesterday, within the policy side of things. So I'm not a courtroom lawyer. I never was. I did policy work. So I was a lawyer for the Vermont General Assembly, and I worked on food and agriculture law primarily, and then I also worked on traditional environmental law, which included things like hunting and fishing, clean air, clean water, climate change, and things like that. So, I guess the question was, what's my experience and with environmental issues? And the answer is, it's broad, but also it's useful to think of environmental problems broadly. So, food, human health, labor, international trade. These things are all energy and electricity. These things are all environmental issues, tax policy, business organizations. These things are all, that is how, what kind of sort of form does a business take? Is it a partnership or a corporation? Or, these all can be environmental issues, or environmental issues touch on all of these things. So it's very broad, and I have in practice, you tend to be narrower. As a professor, I get to be broad and jump around and sort of do whatever I want to do. I don't know if that answered the question or not.
Yeah, that was great. And then the last question is, it's kind of similar, but if you want to talk about more like specifics when you were working in environmental law, it's what kind of clients do you work with and what kind of cases do you take on?
Right. So I'll answer that from my past experience. Because since I don't represent clients anymore and I don't take on cases anymore. But again, so the practice I had when I was practicing law was as a policy lawyer. So my primary client for the first part of my career was a state legislature. And it was the whole legislature. I didn't represent one party or the other. I mean, Vermont's an interesting place because I think there were five parties represented, at least when I was there in the Vermont state legislature. It wasn't just Republicans and Democrats. There was a Green Party and a Progressive Party and a Conservative Party and blah blah blah. But the whole legislature was right was a client, not one individual or one party or the other. So that's a interesting and very different kind of practice. When I was working for a nonprofit after that, again, the organization was my client. So I wasn't going into court to represent the organization, but I would negotiate with other lawyers and work with our collaborators representing the whole organization. And so when you're representing an organization, it's a very different process than when you're representing an individual, because trying to divine what the whole organization wants and who speaks for the organization is a can sometimes be a bit of a challenge. But one of the interesting, I don't know, I would say one of the interesting things that made me decide I was more interested in getting into academia and like moving away from client representation was that in when working for the nonprofit, we would often work for individuals, not work for, but work with individuals who were like figureheads for certain campaigns that we were carrying out. And we want to close down a specific coal plant, and these people who live right next to the coal plant and who hate it and who at least believe they've gotten sick because of the coal plant, they become a good sort of right figureheads, talking heads, faces of the campaign. But a lot of times, these sorry, folks who live next to a coal plant tend to be disempowered, low income folks who have a lot more going on than just the fact they have a coal plant in their backyard. And what I began to realize is they always wanted me to be their lawyer. That is to help them with lots of different problems they would have. And I would get calls at all times of the night and day. Hey, Josh, you know, hope this thing you were working on is going well. By the way, we've got this family law problem where our daughter just got arrested or whatever. And I didn't know how to deal with any of that. And I wouldn't have been good at dealing with it regardless. And I have a low emotional quotient. So I didn't really want to walk people through like difficult parts of their lives, which is part of the reason that I wanted to go into academia. And so now as a professor, you know, I don't have clients, which is pretty nice, but I have lots of students I work with all the time and feel a similar degree of responsibility for their success and well-being and mental health.